Hello, I'm Dante Benuto, and I'd like to welcome you to the B-side of your Black Sabbath single. You've heard the music, Devil and Daughter, also a track on new Sabbath album Headless Cross. Now it's time to meet the men behind that music, or three of them anyway. I reckon it's good stuff, but for a completely unbiased opinion, let me turn to guitarist Tony Iommi, original Black Sabbath member, drummer Cozy Powell, and vocalist Tony Martin. Tony, guitarist Tony, I should say. It sounds to me like you had an awful lot of fun making this Black Sabbath album. Was it an enjoyable experience this time around?
Oh, yeah, it was great. We had a tremendous time, I think, from right from the very start, from him just listening to the, you know, putting the riffs together and just all being together. Right until the final cut and everything to the album cover, all the way through. I mean, we sing the whole thing right the way through, and we've had great fun and I think it's been the best album ever, I think.
So there was no pressure on you to make a certain type of record. You could just make a Black Sabbath album
well,
this time.
Well, that's right, yeah. Instead of, like most other people saying, well, we want you to make a commercial sort of record, we had the freedom to make a Black Sabbath album.
Cozy, it's your first Black Sabbath album. I understand you were quite keen to keep the heavier side of the band intact.
Yeah, very much so. It was nice to come in and get asked to contribute as far as the writing was concerned and also to co-produce it. And I think the direction of Sabbath should remain the way we've done on the record. It's important not to commercialise it too much, and very important also that we keep the direction that Tony's always pointed the band in.
Because you were asked to join Black Sabbath a few years back, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Tony asked me about 10 years ago because of commitments. I couldn't do it at that time, and then he asked me again about 3 or 4 years after that. And it was only last year when, after I'd managed to extricate myself from various other commitments...
He has to think about it for a bit, you see.
And we've known each other for over 20 years.
You go back
anyway.
A way, don't you?
We do,
you,
yeah. And Tony's... I always wanted to get involved. It was just because of the situations in the past. The timing wasn't right, or the circumstances weren't right. This time was perfect. And we spent most of last year working on the ideas, the three of us, Tony... the two Tonys and myself, and it was just, once we started, it was almost as if we'd been together for ages and ages.
Yeah, it was.
No trouble at all.
It's the first time you've had a co-production credit on a record, isn't it? I think you've dabbled on that side of things in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of work with Rainbow and some with Whitesnake. I did all the pre-production stuff with John Sykes' Blue Murder thing, and it's just, you know, you after a while you think, well, maybe it'd be quite nice if I got a mention on this time. And so, yeah, it's nice to get a mention this time.
Tony, singer Tony, obviously yeah. The record has two sides. Most of them do these days, even I noticed that. But they are two fairly distinct sides, aren't they? I think the first one was sort of Cozy's influence, more traditional, pounding Black Sabbath. And the second side, I think, is the band moving more to the future. Do you feel that's a good analysis?
Yeah, I mean, it's so good to have something like Cozy's playing... In the riff, it makes it so powerful that it just gives you a great kick up the arse. You know, it's like this thing moves, and you can take it to so many extremes without it sounding over the top. And it's like a very hard rock, but with there's stories in there, you know, which we can weave in and out and make a whole range of different things. And there's that much available to us in the music and the lyrics that we could go on for ages and ages doing this sort of stuff.
Yeah, there clearly seems to be a story in the title track, Headless Cross. Is there actually a Headless Cross? Was it a figment of your imagination?
No, Headless Cross is a place.
Where
it's
is it?
It's a village by a place called Redditch. And some hundreds of years ago, it was wiped out by the plague. And the people were... their belief basically was in the cross. They thought that it had saved them, which it didn't. But it was obviously a spiritual thing for them. But it was just a place that I used to live in. And the area has got... It was actually mentioned in the Doomsday Book, if I remember rightly. And it's got such an atmosphere in certain places. You know, it just sparked off imagination.
Well, certainly a great riff on that one, Tony. Another great riff. You seem to pull these riffs out from all over the place. Do you have more lying around at home on tapes and things?
Got loads at home, yeah. But funny enough, all the riffs that we've got at home... a lot of these were just off-the-cuff new ones, weren't they? There wasn't sort of... We didn't use the old ones that's there. We might have started off with one of the old ones, but ended up replacing it with a new riff.
Yeah, I remember when I got together with Tony initially in the middle of last year, and he said, I've got a few riffs lying around, I'll get you some tapes. And he came up with two complete sports bags full of cassettes. I mean, I must say there must have been, I suppose, 20 or 30 riffs per side per cassette, and there was getting on for 50 cassettes. So you can imagine. I mean, trying to wade through that lot. I think you should open a shop, Wyoming Riffs Limited.
I think you'd have a lot of people coming to the shop. There's new up and coming bands who are covering Sabbath material now. It seems to have stood the test of time, and that's due, I think, to the strength of your guitar riffs.
Yeah, well, time to call Roar and we'll do what we do.
We'll work it out.
What makes a great riff rather than just a good one?
I think it's got to have a lot of body and it's got a form and feel and...
something you remember.
Belief as well, something you remember as well, yeah.
It also seems to me that the simplest riffs, the killer riffs, I mean, all the great...
Iron Man or something like that.
That's right, all the ones that Tony's written particularly are pretty simple. The same with Jimmy Page is another classic example. All those whole lot of luffs, only four or five notes, but just the way that they're put together.
That's the way that they're played. Some people overlook it, don't they? They look the simple things. They go past and try and get something really technical.
It seems all the guitarists these days it's 500 notes a minute, but they forget the riff. It's all like a load
disappear
of
disappear up your own.
Yeah.
Raw
guitar case.
So is it fair to say that Black Sabbath is now a very, very musical band?
I think it always was, actually. I think it only really came to me when we started rehearsing the numbers. There's so much more in these numbers than one realises. And you think, oh yeah, that's pretty simple, we'll just blast through this, and it's not the case at all. There's a lot of work and thought gone into these numbers, a lot more than I ever gave it credit for. And I think Sabbath's always been musical. It's just possibly because of some of the reviews and comments in the past has been undermined a little bit. But
it's good melody, isn't there, Tony, in the songs?
I think it's great. I mean, I've really enjoyed working on this album. I'm passed out when you hear the final product for the first time. There's a couple of instances where one on a track called Nightwing, and that is a guide vocal, and like I wanted to do another vocal on that, and Cozy just wouldn't let me do it. And I was going, I can't see this, you know, just because he said, wait until the end, wait until it's finished, boy, you'll love it. And we sort of got to the end.
And he didn't. And
it was
just
great.
Just do what you're starting out.
You know, it's just like...
No more beats.
It's just the final product is just... but all the time it was coming together, you could feel it getting better and better each stage.
Yeah, I think Nightwing's the best track on the album. It's certainly my favourite. I think it's due to that feel, probably, the sort of spontaneous feel about the vocal.
Yeah,
that's funny because that was we did when we first got together, the three of us, back in the summer of last year. We had a sort of rather inebriated night at Tony's house, and we came up with the first three tracks, which was The Headless Cross, When Death Calls, and Nightwing, all in the same evening. We had the structures for all three tracks, and I think again that all the good ones, they come easy.
Unfortunately, we had a tape recorder because we'd have never remembered them the next day.
Oh, yeah. Tape we got into. I don't know how we worked the tape recorder after that. But again, Nightwing came very quickly, and Tony's vocal performance on that, when he first did it in the studio, as a guy, I remember I was sitting outside the studio at the time. I was letting him get on with it just because, you know, again, Tony's the sort of guy that you know he's going to do a good job. You just let him get on with it. But I heard this track going on outside, and I thought, blimey, this is really good. And then I came back into the studio and asked the engineer. I said, "Well, that was just a guide thing." I said, "Well, can you just make sure you keep that? Because if that was a guide, I want him to make sure he sings that when he goes for the real one." And the more I heard it, the more Tony again really liked it. And we decided that it was such a good take, we'd like to keep it because they had the right feel, and that's so important with these tracks these days. You know, we've put a lot of thought into this album. We want it to come out the way we intended it to.
Yeah, feels really important. Sabbath has had a doomy feel sometimes in the past, but that can attract some strange people to the band. Now, you told me before, Tony, that when you lived in the States, you had some people like running amok in your air conditioning system.
That's right. That was really odd, that was. There was actually living in there for quite a while because the vents are quite tall, 6 foot or whatever it is. And they was getting all around the house, and I didn't know it until later, of course. I thought I was going mad. The police were coming up every other day.
You can't imagine, can you? People in there with like a telly and the video and stuff, and they're all sitting in the air vents and watching from the behind these slats.
Is this something you have to be aware of, Coach? You should check your earring cupboards right. If anyone's in.
Well, I've got a 12 bore at home, so I wouldn't fancy their chances too much.
Sabbath has been through many different eras and phases in its career. Do you have particular favourites? I mean, any albums you like better than others? Which is your favourite, Tony, guitarist Tony?
I liked Heaven and Hell album. I think that was the last favourite I had. And the album plus before that, I liked Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. And of course, the first two I liked at the time. But
I think this new album's actually very similar in feel to Heaven and Hell. That's my favourite Sabbath album.
I think so too. I think it sort of. I think it should have been the follow-up instead of all the stuff in between. And that was a really enjoyable album doing that. But I've got to say, this album's been by far the most enjoyable doing the Headless Cross album.
Everybody's in the band because they're good at what they do, and everybody was left to do their job themselves. I mean, Tony wasn't breathing down my neck when I did the rhythm tracks. Similarly, I wasn't when he was doing his guitars, nor were either of us when Tony was doing the vocals. And I think if you're given that trust, you're not going to abuse it, between fellow musicians anyway, and you're just going to get on and you're going to do the very best you can. So many situations I've been into in the past where people have really told you, beat by beat, note by note, what words to sing and how to sing them. I don't really think you're going to get a great performance out of somebody if you're telling them exactly how to do something, particularly if he isn't feeling comfortable on it.
So there weren't any arguments between yourself and Tony on the production side that you wanted the drums louder and Tony wanted the guitars louder, things like that?
No.
No, they just got them louder than everything else.
Everything louder than everything else. Pretty loud, I think.
I think you have an understanding. I think it sounds good. You have that
sort of professional understanding that you know it's going to be right.
It's almost if you put your hand on the faders, you think, wait a minute, if I pull the drums up now, he's going to think I want the drums louder, so you actually pull them back because you don't want to, you know.
Not only that, I mean the guys work so well together that they both seem to have the same picture of the end result, so that things they do aren't argued because they both agree like with what's got to happen. So the sound that's on the Headless Cross album is. It couldn't have been any better, I don't think. He could have messed for days and weeks more, and it wouldn't have got any better, I don't think.
Yeah, and of course, no one knows what Black Sabbath is better than the members of Black Sabbath.
Well, that's right. It's so difficult when you've got a producer, you bring a producer in for the first time, and you're trying to tell him what sound you want, and then you've got to rely on him to try and get you your sound, which you know anyway. You know, it's really unnecessary in our state at the moment.
Hopefully by pleasing yourself you're going to please the audience too. What's been the feedback to the album from the general public?
It's been really good.
Yeah. It's been fantastic.
I don't think we could have wished for more up to now. You know, we've had a great
we've been very lucky with the reviews as well. I mean I think people genuinely like the album, and we've done a couple of personal appearances here and there, and I know all the fans have said the same thing. They're really pleased with it. They think it's a great album, and I think it sets us on the right road to putting Sabbath back on the top again.
And we are involving the kids as well. We want to know what, you know, we've asked them what they want to hear on stage and stuff like this. I mean, to make it as a unit all together, you know, we're playing for ourselves and for them. So we've had kids coming up with lists the other week. We're bringing different lists of what they wanted to hear, you know. So we've looked at them.
So you could be on stage for about 4 hours if you play the whole lot.
We could be on there all night if we wanted to. I mean, we've got enough numbers to do that all night, especially from the fan side we could do. But
I think one list, we worked it out, we were going to be on stage for nearly 6 hours at one point. Yeah. We were going to do all the numbers in this one band.
We all come with like different lists, you know. I've made up a list. We put them all there. We're all like added them all together. It's about
we've sort of picked out the ones that everybody's, you know, the most ones on each one.
So I'm assuming we're going to be hearing Paranoid and War Pigs.
I think you'd have to do that. I think if we didn't do that, then we'd have a lot of flack. And besides that, I mean, that I personally enjoy playing them. I'm not sure everybody else will.
We can do it as well. It's not as if we're scared of taking this stuff on.
What about you, Cozy? Will there be your legendary drum solo making an appearance, do you think?
We're working on some ideas at the moment, because I don't know whether many of the fans know, but the pyrotechnics situation has been banned in Europe. And there's a lot of effects that I used to use in the old days with other groups that I now can't use anymore. So I'm working on a number of ideas at the moment, and we'll see by the time the tour comes to the UK. And certainly, I'm sure we'll have a few more surprises up our sleeves.
Because you're starting in the States, aren't you, this time?
That's right. We start on June the 1st, and we're going to continue through most of the summer over there. Come to Europe in September, I believe.
Well, finally, Tony, it seems to me that this album is something of a personal triumph for you, because it hasn't all been plain sailing in Black Sabbath, but you've kept the name alive.
That's an understatement, if ever.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Being diplomatic. You've kept the name alive, and the band appears to be in very rude health at the minute, so you must be very pleased.
Very pleased. I think over the last particularly 2 or 3 years, we took a hell of a lot of slagging and knocks, and not only from ex-members, but from, you know, press and whatnot. But I think there's fans out there who've stuck with us, and... Very, you know, proud of them. I'm really pleased, and I'm glad we kept it going, because we've got new management, new record company, and of course the right band, by far the best band we've had.
Well, that seems a good place to end it, I would have thought. Thanks then. I mean, that thing that went very well. I mean, I can imagine people flipping over the record and playing this on the radio. It could well be a hit. I have to talk about the video now.
Fucking beach in it.
Normal beach.
Right.
Do you want to do a station identification?